Hi, welcome to another Expert Insights discussion. Today we're joined by Deanne Soderberg, who is a seasoned HR professional and presently a human resource industry expert consultant and talent specialist with Strategic Solution Partners, one of our expert partners. Her 16 years as VP of Human Resources with Hay Creek Hotels involved growing a small startup hotel company from four boutique properties to over 20, while building a company culture and developing human resource strategies. Her experience as HR director and trainer with Omni Hotels for over 11 years brings background in luxury city hotels across the US and speaks to her employee relations and retention expertise as a hospitality HR strategist. We thought it would be interesting to tap into her experience and explore the topic of staff retention and tactics to employ that could help with the staffing challenges the hotel sector faces currently. Really hope you enjoy the conversation. Hi, Deanne. Thank you for joining us today. Great to grab some of your time to talk about a really interesting topic. But before we get into that discussion, which is around retention in the hotel sector, can I invite you just to give us a brief introduction into your background and expertise so we can set the scene?
Sure. Thank you and welcome to be here. I've been in the HR hospitality profession for over 27 years. I started my career with Omni Hotels and worked with them for 11 of them and worked around several major cities in the United States. Did anything from recruitment and training to HR related activities and union, non-union hotels as well. Mm-hmm. And then I started working for a boutique hotel company. One of my former executives with Omni started a new company, and I worked for Omni Hotel. I worked for Hay Creek Hotels for 16 years. And that was wonderful. It started with three little boutique inns, and we grew it to over 20 properties before I left. So it was a fun experience, a lot of opening of properties, closing of properties, but it was fun.
Very good. Lots of challenges, I could imagine.
Yeah, there were.
So recruiting and retention was obviously going to be a major part. And I think that's why, Strategic Solution Partners are an expert partner of ours. You're one of the P's, one of the partners within Strategic Solution Partners. And it was really your background in HR and your experience from a recruiting and a retention point of view, that is why we wanted to try and grab some of your time. Because, I mean, we're all aware of the current staffing crisis that's impacting the hotel sector. A lot has been written about it. But I think where I want to start and really pick your brains is what surprised me, or maybe for some reason I've just missed it, but is how little seems to be written about retention and dealing with retention. And we've always been told in the past that every hour or dollar that is spent on retention is much more cost effective and beneficial than that same hour or dollar being spent on recruitment. So I guess my first question to you, kind of just a broad one to get it rolling, is why does there seem to be, maybe a lack of focus is the wrong word, but why does there seem to be little written or discussed that we hear about focused on the retention issue?
I'm not sure why.
Is it a fair, judgment to start with? Is it fair that maybe there isn't that much?
There's a lot of focus on retention. Okay. And, I think locally at each property, anywhere you go, they're mm-hmm. focusing on it. They have to be, right? Yeah. I mean, turnover costs are enormous and they know it. The hotel executives know that, the gaps of jobs and when you don't have a manager and then you have to fill that gap, and whether it's a senior manager that has to drop down and fill the gap or employees or assistant managers have to do it. It creates turmoil, right? Stresses, things get missed, and it's a huge, huge cost issue. So I think even though you might feel it's not being written about, it's being addressed.
I think that's what was interesting. I did have a follow up, and you've kind of anticipated. Is it maybe it's become more of just it's an internal issue. You know, it's part of that HR process because, as you see, we all see so many articles, people talking about the staffing crisis and the issues and the impact. You seem to hear very little from HR, you know, senior HR experienced people actually diving into the retention and the value of retention. Maybe I feel at times it's you know, head down, we're getting on with it. It's something we're doing day to day, and we just don't have the time to write or talk about it. And maybe that's a fairer reflection.
Well, you probably see a lot of writings on culture, right? So HR has looked at it and said, you know, if we have a better work environment for the employees, they're going to want to stay.
Okay, that's a fair
And
point.
so I think that's where we're turning our attention, right? Is the
Okay.
work environment right? If our wages are good, we're offering, and are they competitive? You know, do we offer a stable work environment, right? Are they were employees worried about getting laid off, not having a job? If those two things are taken away, and then that we can really focus on the culture, and all culture is different, right? And meaning what the needs are for someone working in a city hotel versus the needs of a rural property, or even just within the property, each employee's dynamics are different, and
Maybe
their
each
needs are
department has a
different.
slightly different culture within an overall culture as well, wouldn't it?
So you can have that. You can have some, you know, corporate programs, right? And there are several and many that are there, but you also have to deal with it individually. And that's where the creativity and the independence at the local properties really helps, because they know that those HR people are engaged and are looking to find what can we do to make those employees happy.
It's interesting you mentioned culture, and I've got a question to ask you. So I'll probably circle back on that because I think it's interesting that it's almost a you can have a different debate with people whether, you know, it's almost like that nature nurture. Is it, do you get some tactical things right and that starts to create a culture, or do you create a culture and then you build some of the other tactical elements within it? So I think I'll probably come back to you on culture a little bit later in this conversation, almost as a wrapping up piece. So one of the things I'm keen to focus on initially, and maybe tap into your tactical experience, you know, to pick up on your earlier comment, HR are in there focusing on retention all the time. Like a lot of aspects of the hotel business, focusing on areas that can have a big impact, they're not always straightforward to address. You know, it's not a single silver bullet, or it's not if I do this one thing, it's going to solve the problem. It's often multifaceted. If we were trying to distill down a number of areas, let's say into key bits to focus on. You know, if I'm an HR professional, I want to think about maybe two, three areas that I could go and explore and maybe do a bit of research into, maybe do a bit of evaluation of how my hotel is set up. What might be the headline areas that you would think these are areas I would go straight into and look at?
Well, first, wages have to be there in just to say, are we paying
Yes,
competitively?
yeah,
Because
that's like a written
that's a
that's a
given,
yeah,
right?
that's a given. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
And I
no.
talked about stability a little bit too, right? So taking those two things out of it, you know, management development has to be one of them, and that we need to make sure that we are training our managers on not being managers, but being leaders, right? And what does that mean?
Interesting,
Well,
yeah.
do we, are we building them to know and understand what employees' needs are, right? And how to empathize and how to lead them to success. And so you have to worry about the management training and do they have it? Is it existing? Is it alive and breathing in a hotel? So that's going to be, you know, a huge one. You know, recognition and reward programs would probably be the second one. You have to have that, whether it's for managers or your hourly staff. You need to have those programs in place.
That makes
And those
sense.
again are going to be different, right?
Yeah.
What we need at one property is going to be different than another. So that's just
And
really
again, back to
important.
that interdepartmental kind of how we reward one department may be slightly different to how we re reward another, for instance.
And that's how they address it. They just
Yeah.
look at it, you know, individually.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's at the whole, right? All the whole
Sure.
hotel,
Yeah.
but then sometimes it's like it is, it's each department that they look at.
That
Yeah.
makes sense.
The other
Yes.
thing is that the career development part, right? So
Oh, yeah.
many people get into the industry. I've experienced so many employees that, work at for a hotel while they're going to college, while they're going to high school. And then all of a sudden they've graduated with a biology degree, but they love hospitality and they want to go to hospital. They want to work with hospitality. And, it might be someone like that, or it might be just someone, you need to build programs that you have a server that says, hey, I thought I was going to be a server because that's what I like doing, but I really want to get into management. And
Yep.
how do you do that? How do you develop them? What programs are in place to help them be that assistant manager and maybe manager? I've had people that are like that have become general managers. I mean, it happens,
Yeah,
and
there
there's
are so
so
many
many
stories, aren't
stories
there? Yeah.
about that.
Yeah. And I think that's, and this is why we wanted to touch on it, because once you've getting people into the industry is hard enough and they come in from so many different directions, but building that right structure, and as you've already indicated, the right culture that then helps them to flourish and grow and stay is so important. As you say, anecdotally, so many people can tell stories about how they started. Let me just pick up on each one of those individually and maybe dig in just slightly into them from your perspective. So if we go back to that management training, one of the words you used in there was leadership. And to me, there's often they're mentioned in the same breath, but to me, they are two totally different how to say it, skills. Being a manager is one thing, being a leader is another. So I think two questions for you. One, would you concur? Do you see them one and the same? Do you see them different? And then maybe when we're talking about the management training, I guess, as you say, we're looking to be leadership. So what are we looking to focus on within that leadership training?
Well, I think they're different, and sometimes you can use them interchangeably, right? But a manager is managing the day-to-day operation, and that's important and is very important and is needed. But a leader is someone that is going to lead their team. They're going to lead them to be successful. They're going to lead the organization to be successful. And what does that mean, right? So again, it's not just that day-to-day, but it's that looking forward, looking to the future. Are we leading them to show employees how to do something and then how to do something better and better? Are we leading them to develop them? So you're spending time with them and you're showing them how to do something so that now maybe they can do it, and you're delegating a little bit, but you're also training them. And so you're leading them to be successful and you're leading the organization. So everything you do is not about maybe that day-to-day operation of getting a task done, but looking to the future. And that's what leaders are.
No, that makes a lot of sense. What are the areas where you think focusing in more on the leadership side rather than the management side? And back to your part about management or leadership development, what do you think are areas that hotels should be considering, almost evaluating their leaders, or to sort of identify where there may be weaknesses, where areas they should be spending time? Are there some core focus areas you should be looking at?
Well, I would look at first to say, okay, do we have a department where we have seen high turnover? So are there problems in that department, right? Or do we see a lot of promotions happening? Or do we see people in one department being elevated? So we know we have a good leader in place. Leadership training can be a vast number of different kinds of training. It could be classes like how to motivate your staff, how to communicate effectively, how to resolve conflict. That's important so that employees feel, wow, they really cared. They understood that I had a problem and we resolved it. So there's so many different training programs for being stronger and better leaders.
I think what was interesting, you used a word there, and I was going to ask you about it, so I'm glad you mentioned it, communication. I've worked for some really good managers who have been really good at showing how to get something done and, getting their tasks done, moving, running their operation, running their department. I've worked for few good leaders, and the leaders that stood out to me were, yes, they were forward-looking, future orientated rather than the here and now. But they were both leaders and managers at the same time. They could wear those two hats. What really separated them was their ability to communicate, their ability to articulate, that strategy, their ability to use language communication to motivate, their ability to use language communication to handle conflict. I wonder from your experience, I've often felt that a lot of management courses focus on how to be more efficient or more effective, but there seems to be very little time put into developing communication skills. What's your view and what's your kind of experience around that?
No, it's so important. And the funny thing is that I should have used that word for motivating, right? So a good leader is going to be someone that the staff is motivated by. They just come into work and they're already pumped up, right? They're already happy to be where they are. So I think good communication is so important. But are you reaching your employees? Are you working beside them? Do the employees respect you? You know, you can go in and go to work and be at work every day, but do they follow you, right? That's a leader. So I think having fun, which is part of my culture spiel always, it is so important. But that communication piece, are you collaborating? You know, are you building a team? And they see that all of those interactions, all of those little pieces every day are so important. So I think not only looking at the future, but are you having fun doing it, right? And are the employees following you? Do they respect you? So when you say something, you could say it professionally and you can articulate your point of view, and you can say and do the right things, but are they in wow of you? Are they looking at you and saying, thank you? Thank you for showing me that. Thank you for leading me that direction. Thank you for, you know, motivating me to want to come to work every day. You make it fun. So those is just as important as those, you know, day-to-day tasks that the leader is showing those employees.
And I guess one final bit, and then we'll move on to the recognition and rewards, is one of the there's such a mix of generations within the hotel industry as well. So communicating with a more experienced, more mature employee, and then someone who's fresh out of college and coming in, I mean, they have very different needs, very different attitudes, very different approaches, and they could be working in the same department, doing the same job, working side by side, but you have to handle them differently, don't you?
You do. So it's maybe how you train them, you're handling differently, maybe dealing with conflict differently, right? The older person's like, I don't need to bother with that. That's just drama, right? Where the younger ones are like, well, this is important. I'm, you know, upset about this. And so you do need to address things differently, but sometimes it's as a team or it's collaborative. It's getting both of them in the same room and saying, hey, we want to get to here, and how do we get there? And we talk about it. And one person might want to handle it or get to that direction in a different way. But as long as the goal, if they meet the goal, then maybe they're able to have that flexibility, right? And adaptability of how we handle or perform a task.
No, that makes a lot of sense. And I guess the thing that I picked up from that comment is it's that individuality. You may have common goals, you may have common tasks, but we're all individuals and everyone responds to that situation. And sometimes I know from my own experience, you felt like everyone's treated the same, which in some ways is great, but then there's sometimes a lack of understanding that everyone has their own different challenges, everyone has their own different way of approaching something, and having that adaptability seems to be the strength that I saw in strong leaders that I worked with.
It is. And sometimes you don't know what's going on with the person, right? Someone might just have a bad day because they had a flat tire on the way to work, or they have a personal issue happening at home, and the other employees don't know what's going on. So, there's that conflict, and they get upset. And so, showing that patience, showing that understanding, and a good leader is going to know that and say, "Hey, person's having a bad day. Let's give them a break today. Let's talk about this tomorrow, or let's talk about this at our meeting next week, and we can resolve it together." Sometimes that's important as well, not just dealing with the conflict right away.
No, it's a lot of sense. And I guess in the way that leads me on then to that talking about recognition and rewards programs, because I mean, I don't, you are the expert here. That's why we've got you on, as we all talk about personalization from the guest and focusing on the guest and personalizing it, are you seeing an evolution in terms of recognition and rewards programs and them becoming more personalized, or is that just a way that we can't get to at the moment? Maybe we're just looking at trying to find out what our broader needs are of our employees and trying to cater to that rather than having a level of individuality. What are you seeing from your experience? What are you guiding your clients around the rewards and recognitions area?
Yeah, I think they have to all individually look at what benefits, what rewards, recognitions are they offering, and everyone is different, right? It could be anything from people are now starting to offer pet insurance, right? As an example, because there are more people that have pets than they have children, and obviously good health insurance is important, and the life insurance and all those supplemental benefits, and maybe it's the employer paying more and the employee paying less for their, monthly benefits. So obviously benefits is a huge piece in those programs, right? But even recognitions, like, it used to be you get a $50 award or $100 a month for employee of the month, and now they're saying, "Hey, let's have some fun with it. Let's have raffles, let's have different games and different gift cards. You can go online and pick a gift, or we have five different things here. Which one is, do you like? Because not everyone wants,
Same thing, yeah.
one thing, so different." So it's those little things that you, the more adaptable you can be, the more flexible to offering a different wide range of benefits is going to get more employees involved, right? And more interested. If you're always doing the same thing and everyone's like, "I don't care about coffee, I don't drink coffee, so why do I want free coffee?" Then they're not going to be incentivized.
And it may be too soon or completely irrelevant, but has there been any, did the pandemic have any impact when people came back from that in terms of looking at the way that they either wanted to because they suddenly valued the staff differently, or maybe needed to because we were now in a more competitive environment? Have we seen there being more of a focus or shift around rewards and recognition? Did the pandemic bring it into focus, or was it always a trend that was happening anyway?
Yeah, I think it was a trend that was always happening. If there's anything that the pandemic has done, and it's done a devastation to our industry, and it's starting to get a little better, but it's probably time. So we've been given out, and I've seen, more days off with pay and those kinds of
That
recognitions.
recognition.
Before, it might have been money. It might have been, and I'm not saying it still isn't money,
No, no,
or
no.
there isn't still that piece. Everyone's different and what their needs are. But time off and flexibility of time. Hey, this month, you can have this many days off, or whatnot. I think that's really important. People want that flexibility of that life, work-life
Yeah, they
balance.
kind of suddenly, the pandemic gave them an understanding of what they could do when they weren't working all the time. And so suddenly
Right.
it's, well, hold on a minute, I quite like doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And if you adopt that, if you can find a way of adopting that policy, I could see why that would help as a retention strategy. And also from a hiring point of view, if you can offer those kind of things as well, isn't it?
Right. Yeah. Give a certificate of, a day off with pay, and employees love that.
Absolutely. Okay. The third area you mentioned, career development. And I wanted to touch on this area because sometimes I feel that often when you're reading, we read obviously loads of articles, Sometimes you get a sense that people feel the hotel industry is a job, not a career. Yet you, as you mentioned at the outset, and for me working around the industry, hundreds of stories of people who have built careers, but I'm not quite sure it's as obvious, or I'm not quite sure people understand. And maybe when they see more and more consolidation in roles and cluster roles or regional roles, or suddenly taking people off property and putting them, collectively into a different office somewhere, looking after five or six properties, you kind of feel, well, how do I evolve? How do I grow? I wonder if there's some structures and just a general feeling that has affected that view of it being somewhere to develop my career. So when you brought that up as an area, I was very interested in getting your views on it.
Yeah, I think some I guess some employees are interested in that development, and they might be interested in developing themselves, but at that property, right? So they live in a certain area and they have a home, they have a family, and they want to stay in that area. And then there are others that are like, I'd love to travel. I would love to move around. So finding a company that has several properties that could develop them into different roles and where they're other hotels, other corporate offices are, that might be as attractive for some people.
That makes sense.
And then in middle of their career, it changes. And all of a sudden, hey, they found someone and they've settled down and
Now
they're
they
going to
want to
have a
stay
family. And now
there.
they don't want to travel. So, and that's when they might want to leave, and they leave a company because it's best for them in their personal life. So there is good retention. I mean, there is good turnover once in a while, and that it's the
Yes,
right thing for
absolutely.
them. And it's nothing that the employer did. It's just, personal things happening. So that's important. But career development, we've got to develop those training programs that you start from a level when you can talk to an employee and say, hey, if you are really interested, you seem like you're growing. And usually we have like a, hey, stay for a position for 6 months. Let's see if you really like the industry, like your job, like what you're doing. And then we can offer you a development program. And sometimes, they just are elevated so quickly that we move that timeline, right? All right, 3 months, you've been doing great. Let's move you. And so a front desk clerk that now wants to be a supervisor or go into reservations or be a front office manager, we have, programs out there, and hotels need to have that. And most of them do. They have these programs where you can start developing employees to be a manager.
And I
So that's
guess some of
important.
that ties back into what you spoke about before. In terms of the difference between a manager and a leader, I guess a leader is trying to identify talent that they can develop, that could be developed for the company because they recognize the value. A manager sometimes is focused on just making sure the job is getting done, and so the individual's career development is not really their prime focus. Would that be fair?
Yeah, it is. And a person starting into a job and growing, it's a management training program, right? How do you do things? It's the basics. It's the how do you get that job done? How do you get those tasks done? Those day-to-day operational needs, right? For a department. But then the leadership part is that next step almost. You can still be developing as a leader while you're developing as a manager, but you more find that once you're a manager, it's now let's really hone in on some of those skills, and let's make you even elevate you even more and be that better leader.
No, that makes sense. And you mentioned the word training. With hotels being under pressure financially, how have you seen? I know I wouldn't ask you to talk specifically because that would be unfair, but if you were making a general view on training budgets within the hotel industry and whether they have stayed the same, gone down, investing more, if we recognize the value of retaining people, if we recognize that training and developing them helps them to feel like they're on a career path, then those two things seem to go hand in hand. But if there is no budget or restricted budget, then that would seem to undermine that thought process. What's your take on it?
A lot of things that we do are you got to develop them in when you have those financial constraints, right? It's being creative and finding programs. And there are programs out there that are free, right? So maybe all it is it's labor that you're talking. And is it labor? And we offer it during different times. So when you have two desk clerks on, because we're going to have a heavy check-in, it gets really quiet and you can pull them in the back office and have them go through a virtual training program for 30 minutes. They can always stop it and bring them back. You can come up with those creative slots of time to give them. So financially, there isn't that impact.
That makes sense.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And so I guess then to the point you mentioned right at the beginning, and I said we'd come to, but I wanted to do it at the end, because I guess there's that classic chicken. It's the chicken and egg, which comes first. So when we talk about culture and the area that you're very passionate about in terms of establishing all of these things, you know, management, developing leaders, having rewards and recognition programs, having a clear career development pathway. To me, my argument would be, yeah, but that is established. You have those things in place because you have a culture that recognizes those things are important. So for me, the culture comes first and the rest of that follows. I guess other people would say, well, you know, cultures, it can be very individual between hotels, between groups, between companies. So you have to have these other things in place because that's just what you need to do to retain people. What's your view?
You know, I think culture starts not with programs. It starts with the respect of employees. And are we walking the talk, right? Yeah. So are we walking around, you know, or are we behind a desk all day? You know, are you a manager or are you a leader?
Yeah.
Are you walking around? Are you saying, hi, Trevor, how are you today? How's your wife doing? I heard that, you know, she broke her foot the other day. you really engage and it's showing the employee, hey, you care. You don't just care that I'm getting a task done today, but you care because you're a human, you know, you're human. And and that's where culture starts. It's creating those relationships. It's listening. It is collaborating, but it's talking. And and it's not just, you know, you can have effective communication. Yes, you can, but are you talking to the person? You're talking with the person, you know? I think that's where culture starts.
I don't disagree. That's quite hard to, you know, when people want to have management or leadership training, they expect somebody to come in and say, right, here's a program. And it's kind of hard to put a program together to build culture, isn't it? Because it's not quite so tangible. I mean, you've built strong cultures, been part of a leadership team that have built strong cultures. What, you know, if someone was watching this or listening to this, where would be a starting point, apart from obviously reaching out to you and engaging you to come and talk with them? But you know, what would be a starting point? Where would you go?
I think an organization needs to first, what's their goal, right? Build core values, build a culture model that they want, right? And everyone's going to be different, as we talked about, right? But build that. And then, like I said, you have to walk the talk. So if one of the, you know, examples is, you know, respect is one of our key values in our organization. You know, how are we going to demonstrate that? And at a leadership meeting, you talk about it. Okay, how is each one going to do that? How do we do that? And is it walking around and saying good morning to everyone? Not, hey, why are the, you know, the room's not cleaned in time. How are you doing today? Right. So that's the first thing. And again, each day, each week, each month, you say, okay, we're going to focus on this one this month, and everyone has to do it. And there's accountability for it, right? Yep. It's, hey, I've noticed that you're not doing it. And you're your employees engaging. Are upset about it. They see other managers or other employees doing this stuff and you're not. Why? You know, and so you really, it does start from the top. And it's important that those leaders at each property are following and are embracing those core values.
And that makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense. Culture building culture is a fascinating topic, and maybe one that we'll get you back on just to talk specifically about some of those areas and share some of your experiences and how you've gone about doing some of that. But for now, I'm conscious of your time, and thank you so much, and thank you for sharing some of those insights. It's been very,
it's nice
very
to be
interesting.
With you. Thank you very much.
And you take care. Well, I hope that conversation was of interest, and thanks again to Deanne for joining us. If you have any thoughts or views on this discussion, please feel free to reach out. You can contact us via our social channels, or you can email us via insights@revenue-hub.com. If you like what we're producing, please do subscribe through the podcast channel you're listening to. And if you want to see the interview, you can find it on the Revenue Hub YouTube channel, and the link is in the podcast notes. Anyway, until next time, thanks for listening.